No standing ovation? You were just standing, so I'm assuming that was... So sometimes I feel bad for the past because people in the past didn't have all the advantages that we do. But sometimes I feel bad for us because unlike the past, we will be remembered. And what I mean by that is we imagine that great figures in the past were extraordinary, and to be in their presence was probably incredible and a transformative experience. But you see, in the future, people will be able to watch our tapes. And they'll be able to see exactly how we looked and how we sounded and what we were really like. And I imagine that if we had tapes, for example, of some famous rabbis of the past, their reputation might be diminished a little bit. Because memory inflates. And when we know of great people, for example, in our own world, and then we meet them, something of our first reaction is, well, this is just a person. And so there's an advantage to being preserved in memory rather than being preserved in reality or on tape. It's probably a good thing that we don't get to hear Abraham Lincoln speak because we can imagine what it must be like. I don't know what Moses looked and sounded like. When we imagine him, we usually put a heroic figure on the screen. But maybe he wasn't so impressive looking. And maybe he had a thin, reedy voice. And so, this brings me to YouTube. As some of you know, because at least one of you guessed that this was going to be the subject of the sermon, because Angela asked in a comment on my Facebook page, is this what you're talking about? I posted a YouTube of Viktor Frankl. Viktor Frankl was the author of the classic book, Man's Search for Meaning. And a rabbi in England posted a 4-minute talk that he gave, and I was so taken with it that I posted it as well. And it was all about how you have to overestimate yourself. And what pleased me, first of all, about it was that Frankl was just as wonderful on tape as he was in his books. And that's always a reassuring thing to see when you have an inflated image of someone, to realize that your image is not overinflated, it's exactly who they were. He's charming, he's funny, and he's profound. And in this clip, which I urge you to watch, Frankl says that in taking flying lessons, he learned about crosswinds and how if you want to get from point A to point B and there's a crosswind, you have to overshoot point B in order to land at the right place. And that's what human beings have to do. They have to overestimate themselves in order to get to where it is that they really have to go. And this got me thinking about self-esteem and, of course, about Samson. I know, it's where all of you went right away in your minds. You thought, he's going to the Haftarah, no doubt. If you don't remember the story of Samson, that is, as it's told in the Bible, basically it is an angel comes to Manoah and his wife, says you're going to have a special child, they raise the child, he becomes a Nazir, he doesn't cut his hair, he's granted super strength, he can defeat lions and tigers and bears. Exactly. And Philistines, he can kill with no problem. Then he meets Delilah, who's a Philistine woman. And he has this relationship with Delilah. And you would think that she seduces him into telling her that the secret of his strength is in his hair. That's the usual image, but she doesn't. If you read the Torah, she basically nags him into it. She keeps asking him and asking him and asking him. Delilah's basically a Philistine nudnik. That's what she is. And finally, just to get her to stop asking, Samson says, "It's my hair." Then people assume Delilah cuts his hair, but she doesn't. Delilah hires a barber. It's true. Read the text. It's right there in the book of Judges. Which, by the way, is a really good bet with someone. Bet someone that Delilah doesn't cut Samson's hair. So she hires a barber. The barber cuts his hair, and all of a sudden he's weak, and they tie him up. And they tie him to the Philistine temple, at which point he sort of comes to his senses that he has squandered the great gift he's been given. And he prays to God, his strength returns, he pulls the temple down on himself and on the Philistines. What's the point of this story? Think about it not literally, but the deeper point. Because it's not about how somebody had super strength and was weakened by the cutting of his hair. That's like a magic trick. The deeper point is, here is someone who was given great gifts and thought very well of himself. Samson is clearly egotistical. But because all he thinks about is how great he is, he squanders his gifts until his moment of enlightenment at the very end of his life, when he realizes not how great he is, but how great his mission is. And that, I think, is the difference. We know that in some ways, it is easy to overestimate yourself. They've done studies, for example, with American kids and Japanese kids and math, and the Japanese kids all think they're bad at math, and the American kids all think they're good at math, and the Japanese kids consistently outscore the Americans. But the question is not how great you think you are. The question is, how great do you think your purpose is? And that's what Frankl was talking about, because remember that his book is called Man's Search for Meaning. Not for esteem, but for meaning. And when he's talking about overestimating yourself, he doesn't mean thinking you're even greater than you are. He means thinking that you can accomplish even more than you can really accomplish. If you want a perfect example of this, take the Jewish people. When we were given our mission at the beginning, when God comes to Abraham, what does he say to him? Basically, you're going to transform the world. You're going to teach people how to be different by being different yourself. And then the entire Torah is a succession of disappointments. Abraham has trouble, his kids have trouble, their kids have trouble, the Israelite people constantly misbehave. But here's the crucial point. God never says, "Okay, I see now I overestimated you, forget the mission. We're done." No, the mission remains. We're still supposed to be Or LaGoyim, a light to the nations, even when we're nothing like a light to the nations. Because if you keep trying to be that, then at some times you will be, as we have been, as we will be again, as we sometimes are now. But as long as you keep the purpose in front of you, you can't fail, because the purpose that you keep in front of you is always an overestimation. And so falling short isn't failing, it's what's expected. You may recall that Frankl got his original inspiration not only from his work as a psychiatrist, but from his experience in the concentration camps. And the fact that he saw humanity at its worst and still tells us to overestimate ourselves makes his message particularly powerful. When he came to the camps, he had a copy of the thesis that he had worked on for years sewn into his coat. It was the one thing that he made sure to take with him. The one thing he didn't want to lose. And when he came to the camps, the first thing they did was strip everyone of their coats. And he begged the guard, "Please let me have my coat back." And of course, the guard had no sympathy for him. But he said to him, "Listen, if a coat means that much to you, there is a huge pile of coats, all of them taken from prisoners who had been gassed. Grab a coat." So Frankel took a coat, and in it, in the pocket, torn, he found a fragment of a prayer book that contained the Shema. And he thought to himself, any purpose can be life-saving if it's real. And someone who came to the camps thought this fragment of paper that was not their own work, but was a transcendent purpose, was at least as important as I believed my work was. And that's when he came to understand that to succeed in this world, you have to have your sights on the horizon that you will never reach. That you have to overestimate yourself. You have to overshoot your goal. You have to think that the Jewish people can be an or lagoyim, and you can be an or a light in your own life. Because even if you never succeed in reaching whatever your ultimate goal or dreams are, you will know that aiming for them was your purpose. So sometimes when we get to hear the voices of the past, they are just as beautiful, as resonant, as inspiring as we imagined. From some 50 years ago, the voice of Viktor Frankl reaches out to us, tells us to dream big, to reach far, and that failure is not failure. Instead, it's just an indication that we set our goals exactly as high as they should be. Shabbat Shalom.